And at 603 90.7 WFAE, we are continuing our live coverage now of the Carrick mistrial and statements coming through the attorney for the family of Jonathan Farrell.
That the jury, after hearing all of the evidence, would be compelled for a guilty verdict.
What evidence was not presented?
Well, I think there were two things. First and foremost, I think that the video was mischaracterized, Mr. Strew. There's also video reenactment of Officer Carrick, where he reenacts the shooting days after the shooting. That is wholly inconsistent with what happened on the video. So it goes to the credibility or lack thereof of Officer Carrick. The jury didn't see that. So I think there were a number of things. There are other instances of evidence that the jury could have seen that they didn't, that I think would have gone to the character of Mr. Carrick, especially considering that the defense spent so much time trying to personalize him and portray him as a family man. And then also they played the race card. I mean, defense counsel played the race card. They tried to put it on the prosecution, but they really did. And Jonathan Farrell was an all-American guy. He's black, white, Asian. He's an all-American guy. They played the race card. They tried to portray him as a black thug. That's not consistent with his character. And so they were able to argue, consequently, make arguments that were not consistent with not only Jonathan's character, but weren't consistent with the evidence.
Georgia, do you think you could go through this again, honestly?
Yes, I can.
Why? Tell us how you're feeling right now, and what were you feeling the second you heard the judge say mistrial?
I felt that I got to keep fighting. We must get justice. Jonathan was an innocent bystander looking for help and killed. So we got to stop them from killing our children.
That's right. Our understanding is that the vote was 8-4 for acquittal. Are you aware of that?
We are aware of a lot of things, but like my mother said, we must continue to fight. We will fight because Jonathan cannot do it, because Jonathan was shot 10 times unarmed. So we must fight justice for Jonathan Farrell.
Lily, tell me, your family's been very respectful for all of this.
How are you feeling this afternoon? I know it must have been tough.
Of course it's tough, but just like I said, when I was younger, me and Jonathan made the promise to one another that we would fight for each other no matter what. We will always defend each other. So as my brother is dead in the grave right now, I am defending him. I am walking for him. I am fighting for him day in and day out, trying to get justice for my brother.
Are you guys concerned about violence in Charlotte?
To retry?
No, because we're not violent people.
We're not worried about violence.
The violence in Charlotte we're concerned about is Officer Carrick's violence.
That's right.
That's the violence we're concerned about.
Our family don't show violence. Our family is not nothing about violence. This entire time we've been up here, we always carried ourselves in the highest. We always, the person that we try to follow in the walk never was about violence. We're not about violence. We're not violent people. Everybody who walked with us and try to be represented with us is not about violence. Never once said nothing about violence.
You have been very peaceful and your family's been very respectful. Tell us what message you want to convey to the city of Charlotte and to people who see this and are supporting you and feel unhappy with this outcome.
Continue to pray. Continue to fight the battle. Continue to live and make sure that Jonathan Farrell is not walking in your house. Make sure he's not eating at your table, because Jonathan Farrell is still living. Because there's a lot of innocent people. There's a lot of all-American people. I am Jonathan Farrell.
All right.
I am Jonathan Farrell.
There's a lot of people.
Who is supposed to be manslaughter charges or murder charges?
We leave that up to the lawyers and everybody else. God have control of all that. God, no matter what nobody say, no matter what charges no one have. And a lot of stuff that people don't understand is your conscience is something serious.
Yes, sir.
That's something serious.
Had the state given you any indication that they're willing to pursue this? Have you spoken to those prosecutors?
No, we have spoke with them. And just like we tell you guys that we'll continue to sit and fight. We will let them take care of the business, and we have everything taken care of, because God has control of everything.
And so you asked us what we needed. You asked us what we need from the citizens of Charlotte, those who support us. We need you to petition the Attorney General and keep the pressure on them to retry this case, because the resources are there, and so hopefully we won't hear an argument that there aren't sufficient resources to try this case again. There was not an acquittal. It was a hung jury. The case needs to be tried again until either there is a guilty verdict or an acquittal. So this case has to be tried again. We need the citizens to support us in that. You have a First Amendment right to write letters, to make calls, engage civically. It does not require violence, but certainly you have a voice, and it needs to be spoken. Because, listen, this was Jonathan Farrell, but he was unarmed. And there are a lot of unarmed men of every color walking around the city of Charlotte.
Yes, sir.
And if this behavior is tolerated, there may be a lot of other victims.
It sounds like you got the indication that they are not going to pursue a second trial. Is that true?
We certainly haven't gotten an answer. So, you know, we've asked for a commitment to have a second trial.
What did they say when you asked for their commitment?
They don't know.
Did they tell you which way the jury was leaning?
No, we haven't seen an official tap of the jurors. It was 8-4.
Video evidence wasn't included. Would you like to see a new team prosecute Mr. Carrick?
Absolutely.
We want to see all the evidence. We want the jury to see all the evidence. And I think that this is a very unique case, and it takes an aggressive team. So if perhaps we need some folks from Washington, D.C., from the federal government to come down and try the case, whoever can get the conviction, whoever can present all of the evidence. And this prosecution team did a decent job.
Yes, sir.
The resources to them, I think, were limited. I don't think they had all the resources they needed. But what I do know is that the jury did not see all the evidence. And I think if they had, that the vote would have been different.
George and Willie, you sat there every day. What do you think eight people did not hear that you think in another trial they would get or hear for the different outcome? What do you think after you sat there day in and day out? What do you think eight people were not convinced of?
We have no clue. We cannot think for eight people. We cannot think for 12 people. We only can think for ourselves and continue to hope that everybody think positive and along this way. And we pray that we get this retrial, and we pray that everything stay peaceful, and we pray that everybody continue to live the life and not have to be shot 12 times, shot at 12 times, and be shot 10 times searching for help.
Has anybody from the Carrick side reached out to you at all since this, or have you reached out to them, or did you say anything to them after the
We pray for them every night. We reach out for them,
but they never reach
That's
out.
Reaching out. Praying for somebody that's reaching out.
And you know, kind of what's shocking is the lack of remorse. I mean, we have not seen the lack of remorse from the Carrick family. And certainly we've always been respectful, deferential to them. Ms. Farrell has always prayed for Officer Carrick. Sure doesn't seem like he was praying for us. And so the lack of remorse is concerning, especially that this is a sworn officer who was sworn to keep the peace, to support the citizenry. He's killed an unarmed citizen and yet still does not have remorse for the family. It's concerning that he could have such a demeanor given the circumstances.
George, as a mother sitting through all this and seeing the pictures, you said you feel you could sit through this again. You feel like you absolutely would sit through this again. Where does this leave your family now? Are you sitting and waiting?
We are going to continue to fight for Jonathan. Justice for Jonathan.
Continue to fight, continue to pray. This is something that we will do until everything gets taken care of. But before we leave, we would like to thank the city of Charlotte. We would like to thank all the supporters, everybody who's been covering the case, everybody that's been helping, everybody that's been praying around the country, around the world, who's been sending me all the positive and negative things that let me know that people is attracted to Jonathan, and that let me know that Jonathan's case is being heard. And everybody, please continue to not promote violence, because our family is not violent. Jonathan was not violent. Thank you, everybody.
Support us on a retrial.
Thank you. Thank
you. I've been listening to live coverage there from outside the Mecklenburg County Courthouse of family members and the attorney representing the family of Jonathan Farrell. The Randall Carrick trial ending in a mistrial this afternoon. The audio you just heard, courtesy of Time Warner Cable this afternoon. This is Mark Rumsey. It's All Things Considered on WFAE, and our special coverage continues at this time. With me in the studio is WFAE's Michael Tomczyk, and I believe on the phone, WFAE reporter Duncan McFadden. Duncan, are you there?
Good afternoon, Mark.
Okay. Duncan, I believe you are at the government center awaiting statements from Charlotte City officials, possibly the police chief and the mayor. Is that right?
That's right. The press release says that the mayor, Dan Clodfelter, and police chief Kerr Putney will be here. We were told that they were waiting for the Farrell family to speak first before they gave their statement. The press release indicated that they would not be taking questions. They'd just be reading prepared statements, but we expect to hear from them here in the next few minutes.
Okay, thanks. Duncan, stay on the line if you can, and we'll be checking back shortly. Michael Tomczyk in the studio with me and listening to the comments of Jonathan Farrell's mother, Georgia Farrell, his brother, Willie Farrell, and also the family attorney, Christopher Chestnut. Michael, as you have followed the trial, what stands out to you in what we just heard?
Partly some of the comments by the attorney, Christopher Chestnut, essentially questioning how good of a job the state attorney general's office did in prosecuting this case, insisting that if more evidence had been presented, if there was saying that there was a reenactment video that was not part of it. But what we can say for sure is there were, you know, 12 days of testimony and evidence. The only dash cam video that was part of the case was presented, and certainly there was a very large volume of evidence presented in this case. But ultimately, 12 jurors could not agree on whether Officer Carrick was guilty of voluntary manslaughter.
Yeah, absolutely no hesitation by the attorney, at least, Mr. Chestnut, to the repeated questions about what should happen next. Assuming he is speaking for the family members who were standing there beside him outside the courthouse, they have no intention of this being the end of the story.
Absolutely. And you heard very clearly from Ms. Farrell and Jonathan Farrell's brother that, you know, this is something they will continue to be involved in as essentially a social justice initiative, if nothing else. Now, the question of what happens next in court, that is immediately up to the state attorney general's office, who prosecuted this. The Mecklenburg district attorney passed the case to the state attorney general's office to prosecute it. And ultimately, as of right now, it is up to them to decide if they want to try to bring this back before another group of jurors and try it again. One of the things we heard, Mark, later in the day today was the judge said he was going to make some of the jurors, or his preference would be to make some of the jurors available to talk to the attorneys so they could, you know, get a feel for how they did, what they could do differently, in case that would be helpful as they're trying to decide whether to put on this case yet again.
Because some of the things we don't know right now include on this 8-4 deadlock, this 8-4 split, which way the jury was leaning, right?
Exactly. The judge specifically told them not to make clear which way they were leaning. So we know that it started 7-5, got to 8-4, and did not budge from there over the course of 4 days. Eight jurors with one opinion, four jurors with the other. And what we heard late this afternoon was that there was no reasonable probability that they would be able to get to an agreement. And
Michael,
in this,
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, of course,
we're going to go to the government center and Mayor Dan Clodfelter.
To the events of the trial. Officer Carrick's trial has now ended. 12 of our fellow citizens have heard the testimony. They have carefully considered the evidence, but they were unable to agree on a unanimous verdict. What happens next with respect to the pending charges will be decided by the prosecuting authorities, but the work and the service of this jury are now done. Our work, the community's work, however, is not done. Our work is continuing and must continue uninterrupted. On that tragic night 2 years ago, one life was lost and another life was changed. And regardless of what may happen now with respect to the pending charges against Officer Carrick, we must continue to ask ourselves what we can do, what we must do to lessen our fear of each other, our misunderstanding of each other, fear and misunderstanding that too often can escalate when we find ourselves in tense situations. And that task requires all of Charlotte. It requires each one of us to take ownership of the issue. It is not something that anyone outside our city can do for us or to us. It is something we must do ourselves. And it is not something that we can put aside or leave for another day. And so what we ask of you, the people of Charlotte, is this. However you may feel about the outcome of this trial or about what should happen next with the pending charges, you must keep your ears, your minds, and your hearts open to the voices of others who may feel differently than you do. We must remember that the world looks very different depending on who you are and what you have experienced. And we as a community must respect all of those different views of the world and those different voices. They matter. They all matter if we are to figure out a way forward from this tragedy. We have to use this occasion We cannot brush it aside. We have to use this occasion to step up our listening to each other and our learning from each other about the many different worlds and the different lives that make up our city. And if we will do that, if we will keep our commitment to the dialogue that has been opened up in so many places and among so many people over the course of recent months connected with this trial, we might just find ways to break down misunderstanding and fear. And if we do, our community will be stronger and safer for it. The City Council and I, the city staff, and the men and women of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department are fully committed to that goal. Let me now call upon Chief Putney.
And this is live coverage from the Government Center following the Randall Carrick mistrial on WFAE.
Today, the jury did not reach a unanimous verdict in the case that has changed the lives of many forever, both in our organization and in the community we serve. As a department, we share a strong relationship with our community, a relationship built on trust and respect. This organization is an organization of men and women dedicated to the loyal service to our community. We hold our officers to a very high set of standards, and we hold them responsible when they don't meet those standards. This department established probable cause, and we charged Mr. Carrick, and we respect the jury's work and thoughtful consideration on this matter. The decision for any future criminal proceedings rests with the North Carolina Attorney General's office, and we'll continue to support the efforts of that office. Everyone has a constitutional right to express his or her opinion relative to what happened today. We as an organization will continue to work to facilitate the rights of all individuals who want to assemble and demonstrate lawfully. That right is fundamental to the fabric of a free society and one that our organization takes very, very seriously. It is important for our community to understand that this department is not defined by one incident, nor will one incident diminish all the good work that we, with our community, have continued to perform and to accomplish. This organization, the police department, is not perfect. No organization is, but we continue to strive for perfection. This community deserves our best effort, and we're going to continue to give it to them. Our department will continue to engage and serve members of our community with our unwavering commitment, loyalty, and respect. At this time, you have words from Mr. Willie Ratchford.
Willie Ratchford is with the Charlotte Community Relations
Thank you, Chief
Committee.
Putney and Mayor Clark Felter. As a community, we in Charlotte-Mecklenburg have worked tirelessly for many months to address community concerns surrounding the tragic death of Jonathan Ferrell. We have encouraged our citizens to exchange personal stories, experiences, and diverse perspectives to foster growth and healing during this difficult time. Community meetings and dialogues have helped foster peaceful protests and expressions of our First Amendment rights. We brought together houses of faith, community organizations and organizers, millennials, local police, and others, and many others to ensure that we honor the words of Mrs. Georgia Farrell, who asked that we engage in peaceful and respectful behavior as we address our concerns related to this story. The Community Relations Committee encourages the public to engage and discuss peacefully based on personal stories, lived experiences, and diverse perspectives related to this story. Some in our community may be troubled or unfulfilled by the declaration of a mistrial, and that's understandable. We hope that everyone will be mindful that in our legal system, justice is a process and not a result. We want to thank all people in Charlotte-Mecklenburg for the way you've handled this very difficult situation. We must all continue the open dialogue we've started around police, community relations, and our work to make Charlotte a community that honors us all with respect, dignity, and appreciation. In the past, we've always found ways to work peacefully through our differences, and we believe we will continue that legacy of solving our problems together. It is how we do things in Charlotte. This concludes the official statements of the mayor, the chief of police, and myself, And at this time, we'll take any questions you might have.
Chief Buckley, are there extra precautions, everything for tonight? Should anybody get out of hand?
Yes, we're going to continue to make assessments. As we all do, our officers are going to be vigilant, making sure we ensure the safety of the city, obviously.
Do you have officers, extra officers on standby or on duty tonight?
We have the appropriate number in place, and we're going to be able to increase the number if necessary, but I don't see a need for that. Right now, everybody's doing exactly what we expect them to do because they're acting the way Charlotte reacts. They're doing it thoughtfully and within the boundaries of law.
Are you concerned about people coming from out of town in the coming days?
No, I'm not concerned about it, but we've made preparations just in case.
Chief, are there any divisions within the police department over charging Officer Carrick so quickly after this incident? Somebody reviewed the video from the dash cam, and it was, some saw it as ambiguous.
The organization reflects a community. People have various opinions, obviously. But what I'm doing, I continue to do, is expect them to be professional, put those personal opinions aside, and do the work that our community expects us to do. Obviously, there are going to be differing opinions, and we're human, so obviously there are differing opinions.
Are there any regrets with this case? Anything that you take a look at, second guess, regarding evidence collected, what happened out on that scene, especially with training? A lot of people have been concerned about two opposite instructions given to officers. Is that anything that you've looked at as a result of this case?
Absolutely. There's plenty of things that we've looked at and continue to look at. Do I have any regrets? No. I think we have a professional force that's very competent, that have mastered the area of criminal investigations. I think they did a very good job, and I think our charges were appropriate. We again, defer to the jury. The decision's been made, or the inability to come to a firm decision. So we'll see what happens moving forward as the justice system runs its course.
What happens with Officer Carrick now?
He remains on leave until all of those processes have run their course.
What are you guys doing? We have a Knights game tonight. We have a Panthers game tomorrow. Is there going to continue to be security for those events as also?
Absolutely. We've made plans. We've made traffic plans. We have staffing on and off duty. We're ready to facilitate people who want to come into the city and have a good time and enjoy those events. Absolutely.
Could Officer Carrick have his job back if he wanted it, though?
That is not for me to determine. Again, it's up to the courts to decide what happens criminally, and then we have an administrative process that would follow suit. It's way too early for me to determine any of that, so I can't really speak to that at this point.
How have use of force directives changed, if at all, following this case?
Well, what we've been doing all along is we have an external review committee of community leaders. We have some internal advisory council, mainly of officers. They've been going through all of our policies, procedures, practice, looking at our recruiting and training, always making recommendations so we can make improvements. What I can tell you is pretty clearly is there's a difference between lethal cover, being ready for a lethal threat, and actually using lethal force. That's the crux of the whole matter. And all of our training is focused in that area and along those lines.
Department collected enough evidence to provide for the state in order to give any clear direction on what happened that night?
Absolutely. I think our investigation was top-notch. It was as good as it could be if conducted by humans. Absolutely. Our people are masterful at their job.
So, Chief, the jury heard two different opinions about the use of lethal force in this case. Should Officer Carrick have drawn his gun in the first place?
I'm not going to get into the nuances of the case again. It's yet to be determined criminally. What I can tell you is we're making assessments training-wise, and our training is consistent. You can draw your weapon in anticipation if you suspect somebody might be armed, but you cannot shoot until you're actually encountering a lethal threat, meaning the person's armed and about to do you harm.
Chief, talk about morale in the department. What has this done to your officers?
We've been talking about morale for much longer than this, and our issue is we have to make sure our work environment is supportive. And my conversations moving forward to be along those lines to make sure our people are still engaged. Let's be honest. Our officers feel like any officer in the country. They feel under siege sometimes. They feel unsupported sometimes. But what I tell them and what I'm going to have them do is come out and see the community that embraces the work that we try to do every day, and how appreciative they are of those heroic efforts. So I just think it's a matter of perspective. I got to get them to see what I've been seeing in our engagement with the community.
You're listening to live coverage from the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Government Center following the mistrial declared today in the voluntary manslaughter case against CMPD officer Randall Carrick. We've been listening just now to CMPD Chief Kerr Putney as the news conference there continues.
As this goes on, it was such a central part of this case and kind of a conflicting part due to some of the testimony.
Well, I understand that interpretation. There's no conflict in what lethal cover is and what lethal force is. The decision to pull the trigger, you have to encounter lethal force. That's the difference. That's not inconsistent at all. Our expert witnesses testified along those lines and I think made a pretty compelling case. It was clear to me. But as far as reviewing the policies, absolutely. They didn't have to ask. I asked them. And again, just being true to everything I said, it's about bottom to top development. Our officers are the people on the street. My job as a Monday morning quarterback is to do my role to critique and assess. I'm going to do that, but also doing that with them. They've been a part of this from the beginning, and none of that is going to change.
Good to go? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, you've been hearing live coverage from the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Government Center, a news conference involving just there CMPD Chief Kerr Putney. Also, Mayor Dan Clodfelter spoke a bit earlier, and we heard from Willie Ratchford of the city's Community Relations Committee. This is special coverage on 90.7 WFAE, your source for in-depth news. I'm Mark Rumsey, along with Michael Tomczyk in the studio this afternoon. We have reporters in the field continuing to gather reaction to this afternoon's announcement that the jury in the Randall Carrick case had been declared, the jury had deadlocked and the judge had declared a mistrial. Michael Tomczyk, in listening to the city officials over the past 15 minutes or so, many calls there for Charlotte to react with calm and composure, and we often hear the phrase about reacting in the Charlotte way. What did you hear from the mayor and especially just now the police chief?
Certainly from Chief Putney. I mean, he said that, you know, we're going to be vigilant in making sure the city is safe tonight. But he said right now everybody is doing exactly what we expected them to do, which is acting within the boundaries of the law. So he made a strong case for so far what we've been seeing are protests that have been peaceful. The cops facilitating those protests in some areas of uptown, stopping traffic, allowing the different folks to move through. But the bottom line from his standpoint so far is that, you know, to your point, Mark, he even mentioned the language of we're reacting the way Charlotte reacts. His take on that so far is that it has been within the boundaries of the law.
Okay. It's just past 6:30. We will be joining Marketplace shortly here on 90.7 WFAE Charlotte and 90.3 WFHE Hickory. Mark Rumsey along with Michael Tomczyk. Wrapping up and summarizing, today we started out getting word around midday that the jury was, in fact, deadlocked. No great surprise given that they were into their fourth day, covering portions of fourth days of deliberations.
Absolutely. And we learned that initially there was a vote of 7-5. There was then a vote of 8-4, and that's where it stayed for the rest of the week. The bottom line here was, you know, the judge gave them two options. Do you come back with a guilty or not guilty verdict for voluntary manslaughter for Carrick, which is essentially defined as self-defense, but using excessive force. And the police initially said that he should not have fired his gun. He fired his gun 12 times, hit Jonathan Farrell 10 times as Farrell came at him. And of course, Farrell was unarmed, which is the reason that, as Putney echoed again there, Chief Putney echoed again there, he views that as excessive force because there was no lethal threat coming at him. But the bottom line, Mark, to your point is the jury could not come to an agreement. This is a case where it would have had to be unanimous, all 12 jurors agreeing. And they got to the point by the end of day four of deliberations that the judge asked them, is there a reasonable possibility you'll be able to, you know, maybe with the weekend off, get to a point where you can agree? And all 12 of them agreed. The foreman said so. The other 11 raised their hands. There is not a reasonable possibility of us agreeing.
We heard also a little bit earlier this evening from family members of Jonathan Farrell, his mother, his brother, and also the family attorney, speaking very resolutely about the fact that this case should not end here and that Randall Carrick should be prosecuted again.
And that is the next big question, because this is up to the state attorney general's office. When there's a mistrial, it goes back to the prosecutors to decide, will we bring the charges again? Will we bring a lesser charge, for example? And so far, we have not heard what the answer to that is. I should also say we do not know that 8-4 that it ended up. We don't know if that was leaning towards convict or acquit. And that is a key question for the prosecutors to try to find out. They had said they wanted to learn that by talking to the jurors to get a better idea of what they should do moving forward.
All right. WFAE's Michael Tomczyk, thanks very much.
Hey, thank you, Mark.
And thank you also to our reporters in the field this afternoon, Duncan McFadden and Gwendolyn Glenn. Thanks to the entire WFAE News Department this afternoon as we have brought you continuing coverage in the deadlock jury and then the declaring of the mistrial in the Randall Carrick voluntary manslaughter case. WFAE will continue to follow further developments in this story and bring you those updates as warranted. Marketplace coming up next now here on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Mark Rumsey. Good evening.